to work informed with Larry Richard and John Chumway in the KDKA Morning News right now. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
You're listening to the Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio 1020 KDKA at 712. I'm Larry Richard.
And I'm John Chumway. We've talked a lot about the economic turnaround in the country and the improvement in Detroit and other avenues of the economy coming back. But the oil prices, what they're doing right now, what gasoline's doing, is threatening to, at a minimum, slow down that recovery. And more importantly, it affects all of us in our back pockets and how we live our lives week to week.
And joining us from Duquesne University, he is a professor of economics and a visiting scholar from George Mason. We welcome Dr. Anthony Davies. Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Davies, can you tell me, give us an idea of how this boils down for your average family who's making a middle-class income when gas prices start going up like this? What suffers?
Yeah, well, gas prices give you a double whammy because, of course, not only are you paying more at the pump, but when you go to the grocery store, food prices are higher. Now, you wonder why that would be. Well, it turns out that a large portion of the cost of getting food to the grocery store is fuel. So as fuel prices go up, it's more expensive to transport food, and that hits your pocketbook at the grocery store as much as it does at the gas pump.
And you don't have to be an economics major to understand that impact.
Well, that's right. Yeah, we see it every day. But to put things in perspective, part of the problem is Americans have gotten used to falling or steady gas prices. If you adjust it for the growth in our incomes, gas today is as expensive as it was in 1978. What I mean by that is we feel the same pain today when we buy a gallon of gas that our grandparents did in 1978, given their lower incomes.
Now, when you're looking at a combination, okay, you're paying more for groceries. You're also paying more for gas, obviously. It's costing more just to drive to your job and back. Where is the other end of the push and shove going to be where people start giving things up?
Well, yeah, the other end of the push and shove, it starts off at entertainment, and you hope that it ends there and doesn't start cutting into things that you consider more necessities. But a large part of what's driving this, interestingly, are ethanol requirements. We've required for some years now that we have ethanol in our gas tanks. And the fact of the matter is, ethanol isn't any better for the environment after it goes through the catalytic converter and whatnot in your car than gasoline is. And it provides less energy, which means at the end of the day, it's actually costing us more money to run on ethanol than it would to just run on straight up oil.
Well, why don't our elected officials get that?
Because they do get it. The problem is the agricultural industry has a financial incentive to lobby for ethanol requirements, because the more ethanol requirements there are, the more we're forced to buy corn that turns around and gets processed into ethanol. So the corn farmers have a great incentive to lobby Congress for more ethanol requirements.
So what you're saying is we've made our bed and now we have to lie in it.
Well, it's kind of like that. We've been sold a bill of goods about ethanol that it was going to be this fuel of the future, and it turns out simply to be lining the pockets of agribusiness.
Well, what about this shale that we're sitting on? Why can't we convert our cars to run off natural gas?
Well, that's an interesting question, and some countries have done that. Of course, you see some cities with buses that run off of natural gas. There's a big switchover that's got to happen, because it's not simply a matter of saying, okay, we're going to switch to natural gas. You've got to replace the tanks and the cars, which probably means coming out with new types of cars, and then all the gas stations have got to switch over. So there's a huge cost to doing that. Will we be pushed in that direction eventually? Maybe, maybe not. The fact is that oil today is as expensive in terms of our income as it was a generation or two ago. So until the price of oil gets really high, I don't see that there'll be a lot of incentive to make that switch.
We have heard that as much as 40 cents a gallon of the price that we're paying is due to speculators being involved in the commodities market. Is it even possible to mitigate that or to get gasoline off of the commodities market?
Yeah, and I don't think that's a good move. I think people misunderstand the value that speculators pay. Think of it this way. When you go to the grocery store and pick up a can of a box of cornflakes, you don't spend a lot of time shopping around for prices. Maybe a little bit, but you're generally sure that when you pick up that box of cornflakes, the price you're looking at is within a few cents of what you're going to get somewhere else. Well, the whole point of speculators is to ensure that that happens on commodity markets also, because whenever the price of oil is higher in one place, speculators will sell on that market and buy on the lower market, and that causes prices worldwide to become more equal.
Is it so obvious just to us? I can't believe that the lobbies are so powerful with agriculture that they could stop us doing what, as you say, would be the right thing.
Well, it's partially a matter of them throwing a lot of money at the politicians, but I think the larger blame falls on the American voter, who we have our own things we're concerned about, you know, making the rent or the mortgage or raising the kids or whatever it is, and so we have far less attention to pay to things like this. So when we hear on the news, yes, we need ethanol because it's going to be good for the environment, everybody says, okay, that's fine, and we vote for the guy.
Yeah, well, don't downplay the environmental impact either. I mean, there's a pretty heavy lobby for environmental issues.
Yeah, but what Professor Davies is saying is that it's actually not as environmentally friendly as what we were doing before.
Well, try to convince the environmental people that.
Well, yeah, in fact, it hurts the environment because consider when we have these ethanol requirements, there's now a lot more profit in corn. And what is happening in some places are farmers are plowing over forests so that they can plant corn.
Crazy. You'll never be out of work talking about economics and statistics. Professor Anthony Davies from Duquesne University, we appreciate your time. Thanks.
My pleasure. Good morning.